Welcome to Speed Vector, the podcast dedicated to the art, risk, and obsession of speed flying. I'm your host, Victor Garcia, speed flyer, skydiver, cinematographer, Navy veteran, and full-time gravity junkie. Every week, we dive into the lines we fly, the gear we trust, and the stories that push us past the ridge and into the void. Whether you're just learning to launch or chasing the perfect line, this is where speed flyers come to connect, learn, and stoke the fire. This is Speed Vector. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 14, or is it episode 15? I need to check. Let me pull up the website. Dead air. Oh, wow. It's episode 15. Here we are, man. We've already made it to episode 15. Welcome. This is also episode 2 of Full Send Fridays. I didn't want to let a Friday go to waste, so here we are. It's Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Today is just me, El Solo Dolo. Here we are. Speed Vector himself, Mr. Victor Garcia in the house. Yeah, buddy, I love this Rodecaster Pro 2, by the way. Got all sorts of sound effects and stuff. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, I was going back through some of the early episodes, and I realized that I kind of screwed up. I had just had surgery, and I was in a lot of pain. I was on some pain meds, not super heavy pain meds, but pain meds nevertheless. And I started talking about the flare line, and I misspoke, like, across the board. I just didn't do it justice, right? And then I named the episode, you know, flare line, like, whatever, review, like, and it wasn't. It, like, half the episode I was just, like, sulking and talking about, like, how much pain I was in. And the other half I was, like, completely misspeaking about all the technical aspects of this wing. So what I'm going to do today on this Full Send Friday is I am actually going to do a line review, although it's just going to be from personal experience. I do have the website pulled up at the moment. I'm going to just briefly outline the technical stuff so that you have an idea of what it is if you don't know already about the line. And then I'm just going to talk about my personal experience a little bit, because to me, like, it's one thing to go on the website and, like, read about it, but it's another thing to hear somebody talk about it that, like, has a decent amount of time under a specific wing. So that's what I'm doing. Let me just adjust some things real quick. Cool. All right, this is just raw, man. I'm not editing this. We're just in it. So I'm on goflare.com, and I'm looking at the line, which comes in sizes 15 all the way down to size 8. I happen to have a 13, and I've got to tell you, it's rad. But let's just go through some of this. So basically, so I don't misspeak, flare was kind of the inventor, so to speak, of, like, the kite riser system. Basically what that is instead of having, like, you know, your typical risers, so, like, either, like, 3 riser set or 2 riser set, and then you're, you know, you've got your brakes, so you can pull on your rears or you can pull on your brakes, and that manipulates the wing in different ways. A kite riser system is essentially a pulley system that when you pull on it, when you pull on the toggles, right, they're like little handles almost on the line, and on, I think, every other manufacturer that's making kite risers are doing it the same way. It's like a handle. Really cool. But when you pull on them, you're essentially pulling and you're manipulating, like, the B's and the C's, and there's, like, a ratio to it, you know? And then the deeper you go into the toggles, like, the further down you pull your hands, the more towards the trailing edge of the wing that you're manipulating. So, like, your brake range is huge. It's not like pulling on toggles on a traditional speed wing. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Stay on topic, Vic. Here we go. So basically, it's just like a promo, right? I'm just on their website. I'm just scrolling down the page. So like Embrace the Uncharted. It's a promise of unparalleled experience. The line's extraordinary. Glide ratio gives you a variety of options, which you would normally need three different sizes for standard Spitfire. There's actually a lot of truth to this. So when you go hands up on, let's just talk about me. When I go hands up on my line 13, like in full flight, you know, like I'm not making a turn. I'm just going straight. Put my hands all the way up. I am getting a really low glide ratio and I'm cooking. Like I'm hauling ass. It's probably like, I haven't measured it yet, but it's probably like somewhere between like 2.5 feet to one or 3 feet to one. And then when I go on the reverse side of that and I'm in like best glide, so not like getting near like a stall where I'm super deep in the brakes, but like just best glide, whatever that is, it's different for everybody. Depends on, you know, where the harness is and the connection points in relation to your arms and how long your arms are. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into it. But for me, it's right around like my nipple line, armpits, maybe somewhere in between there. Not a whole lot of space between there, you know, vertically, but you know what I'm saying? Basically, I'm getting like an 8 to 1 glide ratio, 8 feet out to 1 foot down. It is like ridiculous how flat you can get that thing and how even flying really slowly with it feels very stable because it's well within, it's like, it's not in danger of stalling basically at best glide. Let's see, moving down the page here. So it's got a shark nose, which is basically just like the inlets for the, like where, you know, where the air goes into the canopy, right? The wing, they're like really small openings. And it's basically, okay, I'm just going to read this because I'm going to botch it. So the line's innovative shark nose construction maintains ram air pressure effectively, allowing for lower minimum speeds and extended brake travel. This results in simpler takeoffs and a delayed stall point, enhancing both ease of use and safety. That's what I was just talking about with the best glide. So you can fly this thing stupid slow if you want, which even in best glide, it's still not very slow. It's just like a lot slower than if you were in full flight, meaning hands all the way up. It's pretty incredible. It just retains the pressurization of the wing, basically, because not as much air is coming out as it is going in, which you could say is true for all wings, unless you're stalling. But because the openings of the cells are so small that, you know, it really like builds pressure. Let's see. So the next piece here is agile dynamics. So the lower aspect ratio of the line, complemented by shorter lines, creates a wing that excels in agility. It says to expect stronger rolling momentum, sharper turns, higher bank angles, enables a more dynamic and responsive flight. You know, the whole thing about shorter lines, I don't know. Like, so I came from a 9 meter Rapidos, which actually has like a relatively long line set for a 9 meter, in my opinion. The thing about that though is that even though it's a longer line set for a regular, like your standard 9 meter, when you compare it to a 13 meter line, they're like significantly shorter. The lines, that's a, try that one on, the lines. The flare lines line set is a lot longer because I have a 13 meter. If I had the 8 meter line, I'm sure the line set would be significantly shorter, potentially as short as the Rapidos. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it wouldn't be shorter. I think they're actually longer, but I'm not flying an 8 meter line or a 10 meter line for that matter. I'd like to try the 11, but really I like the 13. And then it's got an enhanced flare system. The flare system is like the pulley system that Flair invented, right? Which you saw first in the Mustache, and then it was refined and evolved a little bit for the line, and now it's refined and evolved even more for the Mustache 2, the newest wing on their lineup. And I'm curious, I don't know for sure, but I am curious if and when the line 2 will come out. But yeah, just diving into this enhanced flare system. So it's adapted for speed flying. The innovative flare system in line features a new transmission mechanism amplifying your input for greater impact. The advancement enables steeper dives and a broader range from minimum to top speed, as well as extended glide ratio range, offering unmatched precision and versatility in flight. Couldn't agree more. Let's see. There's some things. There's smooth takeoffs. It's got a higher takeoff speed. I can attest to this. They're basically comparing it to the Mustache, but its superior glide performance enables takeoffs in even flatter terrain. So you can fly the line on a lot flatter terrain and a smaller size and like on the ground, like you're like just off the ground, like, you know, proximity flying literally, on a lot flatter terrain with a lot more authority, meaning like retained energy. So you can climb out if you need to, than you would be able to on your typical speed wing. With that being said, the takeoffs, and I'll get into this, launching these things is like totally different than launching a regular speed wing, just based off of feel. The mechanics are similar, sort of, but the feel is different. So that's something to keep in mind. I'll get into that in a little bit when I start talking about my own experience with it. But obviously it doesn't have trim because it's all in your hands. It says versatile adventures with line. The line redefines efficiency and speed flying. One size offers a range of flying experiences, reducing the need for multiple equipment and simplifying your adventures. A lot of truth there. Talks about glide. So with high glide performance, the line, you can navigate out of tricky situations effortlessly and gain crucial time for making safe decisions in the air. And let's see, moving down here. So it just goes into wing loading and, wing loading is interesting with this wing because I don't... Like, I used my GoPro as a speedometer a few times, and I compared it to my 9-meter Rapidos and my Line 13. And I've got to say, the Line 13 is faster in certain configurations than the Rapidos. I can probably get the Rapidos diving faster in a shorter amount of time because it's got a shorter line set, and it's got it's just a smaller wing, so it's got less drag. But, you know, wings level, trim open, full flight on the 9-meter Rapidos, I'm flying just under 60 miles per hour, like 58, 59. And my wing loading, given the conditions of that day, that's what I was getting. The very next lap when I flew the Line 13, did the same thing, hands up, wings level, just in full flight. I was going like 62 miles per hour. So it's faster. Obviously, roll rate slower, getting it into a dive is slower, turns are slower. Just, you can snap turns with the line, but it's not as snappy because the lines are longer. You know, I feel like I'm saying line a lot or lines, but it's like I'm talking about the line set in relation to the physical wing called the line, if you haven't picked up on that. So yeah, I don't really worry about wing loading too much with these because the 13 is so fast and I have such a lighter wing loading. Like my wing loading on a 9-meter Rapidos is like a 2.1 per square foot. I haven't done the math on the 13 because honestly it doesn't matter to me because it's like it's a really light wing loading. Let's just see. So I'm like 75 kilograms all up weight. My wing loading on the 9-meter would be 8.3. And my wing loading on the 13 is 5.8. So that's like, for them, that's like in their yellow range. So like, I think that'd be like intermediate, maybe pushing towards advanced, but it's like pretty yellow. It's like, it's one of those things where it doesn't really matter with these kind of wings, with parakites. I wouldn't worry about wing loading. I would more worry about how fast you actually want to go and also how fast you want to have to run to get the thing off the ground. Because even though they have a really, you know, flat glide ratio, a really large glide ratio, you're still moving really fast. So to get off the ground, you've got to be moving fast. If you don't have any wind, you know, wind helps. A headwind helps a lot. I would not try to launch this thing with any kind of cross or tail. You want to be pretty squared up if there's wind. So that's pretty much it from the, the website. I'm just going to talk a little bit about my experience with it. So I came from skydiving. If you've listened to this podcast, you know that already. I've talked about it ad nauseum. I moved into speed flying, and I was flying like, you know, your quote unquote traditional speed fly wings. So like, you know, normal trim system, toggles, you know, three riser groups, and, you know, messing with the rears a little bit, but really like toggle flying with trim open or closed. Pretty similar to skydiving, you know. When I first flew the line, it was like 18 to 20 mile per hour wind, gusting to like 24. And Todd Higley and I both have line 13s, and neither of us had flown them yet, but we had had them for like months. Like I got this thing in February. I didn't fly it till May, and I was flying throughout that whole period. Then most of the 9 meter Rapido, some 11 meter Mirage laps, but for the most part, the 9 meter. So I wasn't concerned about the speed because I knew it was either going to be as fast or it was going to be a little bit slower, meaning the line, you know, the 13 meter was going to be like probably as fast, maybe slower, maybe not. I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. It turns out it was faster. But a couple things. So like I got this like false sense of security the first few times I flew it because just that day, because the wind was so strong. So to me, it was like, first of all, super easy to kite in high wind. Like the thing is insane. It's like the lightweight material that you see in other wings, like, you know, the Fury Max and, or light, whatever it's called, level, you know, the R3X, it's a lightweight material. If you've flown or ground handled or even touched those wings, you realize it's different. Like they're very lightweight. The fabric is lighter, it's thinner, it inflates faster, it is really easy to ground handle. You don't need as much wind to ground handle. I need some water here. Goodness, I'm back. So the line is the same. It's like really lightweight, really thin lines. Really easy to screw up your lines though. Like you got to be careful because the riser groups are different. Like it doesn't look like everything's kind of like the same color. Like the lines like away from the risers going towards the wing are different colors, but the risers themselves, the ropes and stuff with the pulleys, it's all the same. Same thickness, same color. Like there's just it looks like a rope. It's not even a color. So you have to make sure when you're clipping in that like nothing is wrapped or anything weird or like not in the same orientation, because you can get in a lot of trouble with these, with just parakites in general, if your lines are screwed up or if your pulley systems are screwed up. Excuse me. So stuff to keep in mind there. I know I'm jumping all over the place. Try to follow me here. But so the first time I flew it, I thought it was easy to launch because I had like a 20 mile per hour headwind. So I was already like, you know, almost flying before I even got to the lip. I actually like lifted off the ground before I even got to the lip of the launch I was at. And then I remember getting in the air and being like, whoa, this is weird. Cause obviously it's a lot of wind, probably could turbo soar with the line, in a size 13 that day, you know, if I just kept my hands lower, but I wasn't trying to soar. I was trying to like fly it. Why we chose this day, I think it's because we were both worried about not making it off the launch before the launch ended, like the physical terrain ended, and didn't want to like pile drive into the earth. So, which wasn't, it was an irrational fear, in hindsight. Like I've launched this thing, tens of times, so like 10 to 20, maybe 30 times in like zero wind or like 2 knots, you know, 2 miles, maybe 3 miles per hour coming up the face. And honestly, it's like a dream to launch. The thing is that if you have spent any time speed flying, you realize that, you know, you bring the wing up and you catch it with the toggles and now it's over your head. And if there's no wind, you're starting to run. And then the brakes get heavier. Like you do like the splayed back arms and you're running forward and you're in your like, you know, good, solid, athletic 45 degree, you know, torpedo position. Sorry, my dogs are freaking out. Of course, it wouldn't be a podcast without them barking in the background. But anyway, so yeah, you're running forward, you're in your good torpedo position with your arms, you know, splayed back like a freaking eagle, ready to take flight. And you feel the brake pressure come up, you feel the wing pressurize, you know, and you're feeling it like through your harness and through your hands on your, in your toggles. And then before you know it, you're in the air and you do your torpedo and then you like eventually sit back in your harness, right? Now you're flying. The difference between that and the line is that you don't get the same feedback in your hands that you do with a typical speed wing. What do I mean by that? Well, that pressure that you feel building in your hands, right, from the toggles, from the brake lines, isn't there. It almost, you feel it a little bit, and it's something that you get used to, but when you're so accustomed to feeling that like specific amount of brake pressure, and then you go to a line, you got to understand before you try this that like you're not going to feel that. It isn't the same. You're feeling it, but because you've never felt the wing before in full flight, like you don't actually know what that pressure feels like. And as you also know, if you speed fly, especially, you know, typical wings, traditional wings, the amount of pressure that you're feeling in your hands on your typical launch isn't the same amount of pressure that you feel when you're actually flying. It's the same thing with the line, except everything that you're feeling with the line is reduced. So like it feels like the wing's not going to want to fly when it's time to fly. Like when you're getting to the edge of that usable space for launch and you're about to take flight, right? This is a really steep kind of very distinct drop off. It's on a cliff, but it does like, you know, do a freaking 50 degree downward angle right off this launch. So it's a, you know, it's a cliff without being a cliff. It's all like sand and stuff, but dirt, whatever. But I remember just like the first time I did it, the first time I launched with the line 13 on like a no wind day, I ran a lot further than I needed to. I didn't get off the ground until that lip, but I didn't have to start as far back as I did. I think I started like, I don't know, man, like 50 feet back. I got the wing up, started running, made sure everything was good, and then just sprinted. And then I was off the ground flying, you know, right at the lip, right? But I think I would have done it sooner. It was just like a mental thing, you know, like, am I going to be able to do this? Turns out it's not that bad. You just have to remap your brain to be like, okay, like this is what it's going to feel like when it's ready to fly. And then you just do your normal kind of like 45 degree with your upper body torpedo position off the lip, hold it, you know, and then gently sit back into your harness. Something different with the line, you don't splay your arms back like an eagle. You kind of keep them by your side or like in front of you a little bit. So it's like a little bit different body position, but you still want to be torpedoing. You still want to feel the forward. You still want to feel your chest strap, you know, on your chest and be forward and not be too far like upright, because you still need, it's still the same body position. You just, your arms aren't splayed back. Really important. They talk about that on their academy, or in their academy, about the line on their website, which, you know, if you're at all interested in the line, or if you've never flown one, or even if you just want to freaking learn about them, there's six YouTube videos. You know, they just dive deep into the line, and like they're all like 3 to 5 to maybe 7 minutes long, I think, for the longer ones. And you know, there's the first video is about sizes, second's about flying, 3 is takeoff, 4 is landing, 5 safety, 6 is ethics. So obviously, like, you know, the flying, the takeoff, and the landing, and the safety, those all go into like the flying dynamics, flight characteristics of this wing. But once you're in the air, the brake pressure will come up, but it's still really light. And, because the lines are longer, in the bigger sizes, there's a little bit of a delay. And also if you're used to flying on rear risers, you kind of know the feeling, because, you know, when you pull on a brake, it's a very quick reaction from the wing, you know, like, you give it some left brake and you're freaking turning left like right now. when you fly on rears, you know, you give it some left rear riser, it just is a little slower to turn. It's a little bit, it doesn't have to be a flatter turn, but it is a slower turn. You can make them faster, of course, but you know, in theory, in a vacuum, it is technically slower because you're not like deforming the wing as much, and you're not creating as much drag on whatever side you're trying to turn. So it's similar with the line. It's probably similar with other kite riser wings out there. I haven't actually flown any of the other companies yet. I've just flown the line, and I love it. It's my favorite, but I also haven't flown the others. So, you know, who knows? I'm going to try to get on an Odin. I want to try the Fuse, you know, Wave RS from Swing. I really want a mustache. Like, I want to, like, you know, expand this because it, to me, it's like amazing. And the reason it's amazing is because, like, once you figure it out, like, they're simple to fly. It's very intuitive. You don't have to think about like three components. And what do I mean by three components? Well, on a typical speed wing, what are the three components? Brakes, rear risers, and trim. Those are like your three things. On a parakite, and specifically because today I'm talking about the line, you have one thing, and that's your toggles, those handles, right? And that's it. There's nothing else. Like, there's no rear risers, there's no trim, everything's in your hands. And this wing retains so much energy that it's like, I mean, there hasn't been like a moment flying this thing where I felt like I was approaching a stall. Like, it doesn't happen. Even when I'm shutting it down at the end of a huge swoop, it like doesn't buffer, you know, it doesn't do like stall characteristic things. It just wants to keep flying. And like, that's what's so nuts about these things, is just like, it literally like, they just don't want to shut down. And that's, I mean, shoot, like, I am a huge fan of them because I love to swoop, and it makes swooping like amazing, because not only can you swoop like really far, going really fast, by the way, without doing huge turns, but you also have control within that swoop. So like, if the terrain is undulating, like there's some, you know, maybe there's like some bushes, or maybe there's like a ditch or a fence, or like any kind of perceived or made up obstacle, right? Like, imagined obstacle, right? Like, maybe, what do I mean by imagined? I don't mean you're crazy. I mean, like, maybe you're landing in a field, but you actually want to pop it up a little bit, like, to practice as if there was like a rock or a fence, or name the obstacle. You can do it so safely with these things because they retain so much energy, and you have so much authority in your hands to go up. Obviously within reason, right? And you'll feel it. Like, you do 10 flights of one of these things, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you, less than 10, maybe two, you know, you'll know. And what's so cool about that is that it opens up a lot of possibilities for terrain flying. So, you know, and they even mentioned that, pretty boldly in their website, you know, where like, you have the ability to be in terrain, and then you have the ability to get out of terrain without sacrificing, like, you know, your stall point. You have to be super deep in the brakes for a while on these things to get them to actually stall. I've only done it on the ground handling, of course, but like, it's actually like remarkable how long it takes. And obviously I'm not ground handling at 60 miles per hour. So if I'm swooping and my entrance speed to the swoop is 60, good luck finding the stall. You know, what would happen is you would bury the toggles and you would shoot up 50 feet, and then you'd like be at the top of the roller coaster, and then you would let your hands up, and then the wing would cycle and you'd dive back down, you know, and then you would swoop again. Like, it's not like if you bury the toggles on like a traditional speed wing, you're going to pop up also, but you're going to hit that stall point like right now. You know, it's going to be a lot faster, way more dynamic. Can you stall a line? Of course you can. Is it hard to do? Yes, it is. Very. And I'm just talking about from your hands. You know, obviously, if there's some anomaly, turbulence or a dust devil or, you know, mechanical turbulence or whatever, rotor, that's a whole different story. But, you know, we're just talking like perfect day in a vacuum, like good luck trying to stall it, especially while you're swooping. Like, it's hard. The one downside of these wings is it's actually hard to shut them down. So, you know, you're swooping, you do a 90 of semi-aggression, and you're swooping at 60 miles per hour and you're over the ground and you're coming up on, like, no kidding, half the stop terrain. It's going to be tough. Like, you really got to, like, plan your approaches. You got to plan your LZ. You got to walk the LZ if you don't know it, because it'll get you into trouble. I did break my leg flying the line, but I don't blame the line for that. It was other set of factors, which I've talked about a ton on this podcast. I won't go into it now, but I was barely moving. Like, the wing had shut down, you know, I was like coming to a stop when this happened. So I don't blame the line. And I was used to the speed. The main thing is, like, it's actually safer, in my opinion, to fly this wing than it is for me to fly my 9-meter Rapidos. Not that I don't like the 9-meter, but I've had, like, way harder landings with that 9-meter Rapidos than I have with the line. The line landings, like, if you time it right, you'll get to the end of your swoop, and then you give it a little bit more break, and it kind of pops you up, like, 2 feet, and then you just, like, tiptoe, like, softest landing in the world. Half your body weight, you know, coming down on your feet, and you're on the ground and you're stopped. Like, that's like your typical landing with these once you figure it out. Before that, you might be sprinting or sliding on your butt, but, you know, or sliding on your feet if you're into that. I'm obviously not anymore, but at a time I was. Yeah, it's you figure it out. My other knock on this wing is that it ruined me for all other wings, like all other non-parakite wings. Like I said, I'm open to the Odin. I really want to try it. I'm open to the Wave RS. I'm open to the Fuse by Level Wings. You know, when Ozone comes out with one, I want to try it. Like, I'm open to it, but it's hard for me to look past the company that invented the technology to begin with, and that is Flair. You know, I think my maybe two wing quiver, if I had to do it, would be like a 15 meter mustache and or an 18, probably a 15, and then like a 13 meter line, because I don't really need to go faster than 60. Like, it's plenty fast, and it's not lacking in flare for me. In swooping, like, I don't feel like I need an 11 meter to, like, get into terrain better, you know, to fly faster. If anything, if you go with a smaller size with the line, you're actually doing yourself a disservice, because you won't get the same 8-to-1 glide ratio or whatever out of it. It'll take a lot more work, meaning, like, your hands are going to have to be lower for longer for you to fly in flatter terrain. So if anything, I'd almost want like a 15. The only downside to that is that it's a big wing, right? So, you know, it limits potentially where you can fly it, meaning, like, you're probably not going to fly it in like a tight canyon or something. But the 13's not that big. I mean, it's still big, but, like, as far as 13 goes, it's pretty big, but it's not outrageous. So anyway, I absolutely love it. I can't wait to start flying it again. I actually went out and kited the other day for the first time in 13 weeks since I broke my leg, and I took my 6 meter R3 out and my 13 meter line. It was 19 to 23 miles per hour on the Columbia River at this other spot that's more of a paragliding spot. Like, it's like a ridge soaring site, but there's like this big turf field basically where, you know, hang gliders launch and stuff, and it's relatively flat, so I felt safe, you know, hobbling around there kiting. I started with the 6 meter because I, you know, was honestly a little nervous. You know, it's been 13 weeks, and the last time I was under this wing was when I broke my leg. So obviously there's some mental hurdles I had to jump over to, you know, get the line out. But I was able to kite the 6 meter. There was enough wind for it. That thing takes a lot of wind to kite because it's tiny. And but because it's small, it's less intimidating when you're just playing with it on the ground. Obviously, flying it, totally different story. Scary, definitely. Expert level plus wing. So I kited that for about 30 minutes, and then I put that away and I grabbed my line. And I gotta say, like, it's so easy. Like, I laid that thing out, clipped into it, pulled it up, inflated instantly over my head, hands up, just sits there, like, doesn't move. Very, very easy to kite and super fun to just play around with. Didn't ever feel like I was going to get plucked or yanked, you know, didn't ever feel like I was out of control. And it's freaking windy. Like, it was like, you know, a solid 20 miles per hour sustained. I mean, it was like nuke and wind. Definitely wouldn't be doing that with a regular 13 meter wing or even my 9 meter. I don't think I would have been stoked to just go kite. I mean, maybe, you know, but in my headspace at that point, there's no way. So just if you haven't tried one, try one. And if you're not ready to try one, then just go on to Flair's website and watch the videos. You know, if you're around anybody that's a Flair ambassador or a partner is what they call them, or you know, a pro, pick their brain, talk to them about it. You know, maybe they have a demo, maybe you know, best case scenario, you live near someone or you're near someone who is a pro and can give lessons, because I think it's important with these wings specifically, with the line especially, to get a lesson. And definitely do not underestimate the size. Like, don't, if you're used to flying an 11 meter or a 9 meter and you get yourself a 15 meter or a 13 meter line, just realize that, like, it's just as fast as your 9 meter. And if you're flying an 11 meter and you get a 13 thinking it's going to be slower, you're going to be rudely awakened by the fact that it is way freaking faster than your 11 meter, most likely. So just keep that in mind, be safe, but have fun, man. These things are freaking awesome. I hope that this review, or I don't know, monologue of the line is better than the last. I apologize for that. Like I said, I was kind of doped up on painkillers. I was in a lot of pain. I was just fresh off of this injury, fresh off of freaking surgery. Now I'm 14 weeks removed, and hopefully we'll be flying in the next couple weeks. So thanks so much for being here, guys. Remember to leave a review on the podcast if you like what you hear. And if you don't like what you hear, also leave a review, because any kind of reviews help. I still only have one, and it's from July. It was probably my mom. So thanks, Mom. Go on, do that. Check us out on Instagram. If you're in the U.S. or you're in Washington or you're in Europe and you're making your way to the U.S., third weekend of October, Speed Fest at Air Sports Chelan in Chelan, Washington. It is a festival of speed and fun. It's Friday to Sunday. Probably, I don't know, there was like 100 people last year that showed up, all speed flyers, probably another like 20 paraglide pilots, $40 helicopter lifts up to Deer Mountain and the surrounding area, which is absurdly cheap. There's also four-wheel shuttles all day, sunrise to sunset. Huge party in the hangar at Todd's Drop Zone, which is across the street, Saturday night. And a free camping, food truck, free beer, I think, maybe at the party. Sorry if I got that wrong. I think it is. I think it's free, but, you know, you pay for the event, so maybe it's not free. I don't know. It's free in the moment. Let's put it that way. You know, live in the moment. The past doesn't exist, and the future hasn't happened yet, so it's free beer. But, yeah. That's about it. And then, oh, one more thing. I think the last weekend of October, Saturday and or Sunday, is going to be the Hike and Fly-a-thon that I am putting on at Air Sports Land. I'll get more info about that in the coming weeks. I'll put it out. I assume that'll probably be a locals event, because I don't think people are going to travel for it, because there's no prize money and no reason other than to just come hang out with rad people and do something that's fairly difficult physically. So anyway, thanks so much for being here, guys. Appreciate you. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate all the positive feedback and the negative feedback. I love all of it. I hope this makes your day better. And I hope you have a great weekend. Fly safe. Have fun. Look cool. Peace.